Thank you for coming in and having a chat with us today.
Thank you for having me in, everyone.
Now, a big weekend for you. So what have you been up to?
I've been on the road. I have an art exhibition at in Bendigo in the Foyer Gallery at the Capitol Theatre, which is a beautiful space. So I've driven up and back.
That's it. And that is called Pen to Paper. And we're going to be talking more about that. But Pamela, let's go back a few years.
How
maybe
far,
Dave? 5 years. We'll go back to that. Pamela, where did you get started as an artist? You know, was that your first calling?
The answer would be yes, and it's a lot further back than 5 years. I actually grew up in a generation where it wasn't the thing for ladies to go to university and do art. You know, we went out to work, but mainly it all got put on hold. I had, as David knows, I used to work with David.
Mm-hmm. Well, not with me.
You know,
the music industry, yeah.
Yeah, I had a very long career in the music and entertainment industry, which is long hours, and that put everything on hold up until basically a time when my daughter was at secondary school, and then I had time to revisit what I always wanted to do.
So, you know, like, what was it that made you want to come back to it? You know, like, was it, you know, were you always drawing? Was there always, you know, like, moments, or you just had to put it to the back burner and didn't do it at all?
I literally did have to put it to the back burner because it doesn't just happen. It's like anything. You've got to practice. But I've never been without my camera since I was 10. So I was always capturing images. And you really have to go back and do technical training. So I had to go back and start doing proper classes. It's just like if you wanted to take up the piano again or something, you've got to go back.
Yep.
And to get good at it, you just have to keep – it takes a lot of time.
So a real discipline there.
Oh, it's a love. I mean, particularly when you've put it on hold for so long and you're allowed to do it. So it starts as a hobby and it still is a hobby. Mm. I don't think I'm different from anyone else. I think, you know, we all have to put a lot of what we really love on hold, and then maybe it fits into Friday, Saturday, and then time evolves where it might be able to come, you know, a bit more of your week.
Yep. Now, you've concentrated a fair bit on the human body, but you then went off to Italy and studied landscape. Was that last year or the year before?
That was this time last year.
Right.
Yeah.
And why are you, you know, like, venturing into other arenas? Do you just want to explore and see, you know, like, so you have a knowledge of all forms of art?
I want to do it all. Bursting to do it.
So the Sistine Chapel, you'll be wanting to work on next, to paint a roof.
Oh, no, I have a bad neck. No. The trip to Tuscany was also about art history. It was a wonderful workshop under the tuition of a French-Canadian professor. So it was as much about doing the art history while we're in Tuscany. It was all about the Renaissance. And then this incredibly passionate man would take us out and teach us the colours. And
right.
It was exploring.
And I'm just curious of how art history then affects the actual practice of making art. How does it kind of filter through into how you then create from that point on?
Well, not so much create. Art history is as important to all our history. Mm. And it's all intermingled, particularly with a lot of religions, part of history.
Yeah.
It's if you particularly, we'll talk about the Renaissance because that, I mean, the whole...
Florence.
Yes,
is,
it's all how history evolves. So you really, it's like music. If you're studying music, you're studying Baroque and you study the history of music. It just enhances your knowledge. And am I more passionate about art history or art? I don't know. I love them both.
Mm. But does it then it inspire your work then?
It sets a high bar, but it's it's just like passion. If your passion is literature, can you put a book down?
Well, that's the next question I was going to ask you is that, you know, like being in, Florence and the region, you know, going into a town that is so historic. Brendan, have you been there?
I have been to Florence,
Neil, have you? You've been there as well. Mm-hmm. You know, like it's literally a living art gallery, isn't it? But a history lesson at the same time, as you said. You know, like, and it's so political. people, so, you know, because religion was involved in it. So therefore, the inspiration that you must get from, you know, like looking at total, like I went as a tourist. I didn't go, you know, like studying the art aspect of it. It's, it must be awe-inspiring on that
level. It is, and that's why I love Rome. It's so tangible. That's it is, and you look more, I must admit, you look more when you know a bit about it. And studying under Eve, this professor, he would take us into the towns in the morning. He'd be giving us a lecture. Then he'd teach us how to mix the colours, which is one of the most important things and the most fun for me, making your palette. But we'd walk through the towns and his arms would be going and he'd be pointing to this. And then he'd take us to his favourite Bottega and we'd drink the local wine and eat the olives. It was the full package.
Yeah.
And from there, by the way, they go to Provence. So at this point, they'll be going to Provence and in France. And then they study the Impressionists because that's, you know, you can go on and on.
Yeah,
and on.
Of course. So what is your love? You know, this new exhibition called pen to paper. Is, you know, like, is that what you like to do? Is it with pen or pencil?
The pen bit refers to literature. It's all aligned with literature.
Right.
And it's basically, so it's all my inspiration. Well, it's all of us really, words and pictures. When you read a book, you create your own pictures.
Yep. I love that.
Yeah, and I'm not an illustrator. Mm. So, as you mentioned, there's a lot of life drawing. There's also a fair bit of printing. But when I'm, you know, I have favourite books. Let's talk about Wuthering Heights, which is possibly my favourite. So when you go to life drawing, or I go to life drawing, there's never one style, but each model brings something of their personality and their body language and if they're younger or older. So I'm often looking for that pose where I can capture them. So that's been the fun. It's writers like Shakespeare, like Charles Dickens, and there's also Frank Lloyd Wright, because I've sort of done a bit of my idea of architecture and the printmaking.
Well, we spoke about him earlier.
Yeah, it's resonating. You know, we've all got our own. It goes right back to when Mum and Dad were teaching you and you had picture books with few words. And the wonderful thing about literature is you have it in your head what Heathcliff looks like, you know.
Oh, very hunky, handsome man.
Yes, but tortured.
So tortured.
Yeah, and trying to find a Heathcliff was very difficult because it's not usual for a model to walk in the room and give you that much angst. But one model did. And I worked so quickly to try and get that minute.
Brilliant, brilliant.
Oh, for me, I get terribly excited.
Yeah. And do you find that you work really fast when you get that excitement level and you can produce?
I tend to work fast anyway. I'm reactive, and that's why I also liked the work in Tuscany, because it's on plein air outside. If I'm in a studio, sometimes I'll finish something off. I've got my studio, but I do have a tendency to, well, I'll say it myself, overwork or not know when to let go. If I'm in front of something, and it's probably why I also love my camera, because it's capturing that moment. And otherwise I verge into a little bit of pretty or detail, which...
Because photography is becoming a real art form these days, isn't it?
Oh, to me it always has been. The great time life photographers. Photojournalism is one of my great loves. Mm. So all those wonderful Walker Evans and Dorothea Langs, all those time life photographers, and black and white is, again, it's a lot of the life drawing you'll see that I do is black and white, because you can just put a black line on a white page and, you know.
Mm. And with a bit of a squiggle, and there you've got an image. Yep.
I wish. Sometimes.
Now, Pamela, you and I caught up for lunch a little bit ago, and I noticed something that you and David have very similar ways of doing things, of basically looking at your environment as always as a photographic opportunity.
Mm-hmm.
You know, do you walk around just constantly looking at, you know, how can I capture this somehow?
Yes.
How can I take this moment and document it?
Yeah, and again, I don't think about it. As I said, now you have your phone, and the camera on your phone is actually quite good.
Really,
I mean, you certainly, as I'm looking past you now, the light hitting the building behind you, but I never moved without a camera, because then if you don't capture it, oh, it's annoying, isn't it, David?
Oh, yes.
Because, you know, 20 seconds later, the lights moved.
Yep.
You know, so yes, always.
And Jill, I used to often think, oh, I'm in a hurry, I won't stop, I'll come back and get that. And now I always stop, no matter how much it just to, and sometimes the photo's not as good because you haven't stood there and thought about taking the photo long enough. Or the light, the light is so important with photography. But yeah, it's and you know, and people say, oh, you know, where, how does it come? It's a, just a natural thing. Oh,
absolutely.
It?
Yeah, and actually, I mean, this morning wandering around Bendigo, nobody was up and the fog was down.
Oh, it would have been beautiful.
And because all the architecture around there, my head swivels off my shoulders. Look at that, look at that. And as the light moves, there's all these different pictures.
Yep. Now, let's talk about this exhibition. Mm-hmm. It's called Pen to Paper. Mm-hmm. So what's the background behind it?
It is a collection of works on paper inspired by great writers.
Right, and obviously Heathcliff is there.
Yeah, Wuthering Heights. There's a little, I have these little tableaus of books or writers, and in the Wuthering Heights there's three. There's two Catherines. There's the young Catherine.
Does she look, young and older.
Yeah, and that is two different models. So that's the other thing. None of my work is the same. So this happened to be a younger girl who was just, she was giving off a lightness. So that actual work is done with Conti, and I haven't stopped. It's just I've kept going and slowly, slowly built the depth. Unlike the Heathcliff I mentioned before where I just got the black charcoal and went, yes, across the paper.
Yeah, and having a hot flush at the same time looking at him.
Actually, you actually don't have time for that.
Moving a little bit away from it, being Wuthering Heights, did... you know, the Kate Butcher's song, because, you know, like, it's sung with so much emotion and that video and, you know, like, her in the moors and the, you know, like, and the fog and whatever. You know, like, did that resonate with you as an artist?
No, but if you'd seen me in the Yorkshire Moors a couple of years ago... I actually took a week to travel through Yorkshire, and I wanted, because I love that book, I wanted to stand on that, on those moors. And I did a little bit of Kate Bush when no one was looking.
Who wouldn't?
Now, we're talking with Pamela Reid, a wonderful artist. Her exhibition, Pen to Paper, is on in Bendigo at the moment. We're going to be back talking a lot more with her in just a couple of minutes. You're on Joy 94.9, Sunday Arts Magazine. We're talking with Pamela Reid, wonderful artist, who is currently exhibiting at the Capitol Theatre in beautiful Bendigo. Thanks for sticking around firstly.
Thank you.
But, you know, if people are making the little trek, and it's a lovely trek out to Bendigo, however you get there, what can they expect in Pen to Paper, your exhibition?
Well, firstly, I'd like to think, because it's in a theatre foyer, which I'm very happy about, that anybody that's going to have a theatre experience just gets to wander through my little bit of theatre. What does
you don't have to go to the theatre, though. I'm sure the doors...
But it's just that's my fun bit.
Right.
That it's, and I have exhibitions. Your last guest has something on at Chapel Off Chapel, and I actually had my last one.
You did?
At Chapel Off Chapel. Again, because I love the fact that people are there to see a theatre show, but they're given something else. So one thing I think that's different about me is they won't find one style, and that's because I'm reactive, and it gets back to what we talked about before. There's so much I want to do. Can you do it all? And I have tend to make little tableaus of each writer. There's a couple of Shakespeare. There's a stone lithography that I've called Rosalind from As You Like It. One of my favourites is from Romeo and Juliet. It's just a model that I was able to finish when I got home because I wanted to slap heaps of colour on her.
And who is she in Romeo and Juliet?
She's Juliet. And there's a lovely... Oh, all of them come with a quote. The text is always next to them, and it's... So there is the text that has specifically inspired that moment. It sits next to it, such as getting back to the Heathcliff. He's torture as he stood in the moors, you know, over Catherine, you know, why? Mm. Don't leave me. When, you know, so that's there. And again, the Frank Lloyd Wright quotes about how people build cities. And I've used a three-piece print of my views of Hong Kong with his quote about how architects have to be able to see so far ahead. Other writers. Or, yeah. There's a couple of Somerset Maugham's.
You seem to be quite English with your writers.
Yes.
Were you aware of that?
Now that you've mentioned it, I do love the Lakeland poets. Whether it's my heritage, my heritage is from Manchester, but I lived in the north of England for a long time, and whenever I go back, I always go up to the Lake Districts, as I'm doing this year, and I'm just going to explore and more painting and reading all the... I've got many books on the Lakeland poets.
Right.
So there's a Ruskin quote in there, and there's a Wordsworth quote, and...
Right. And I love it that you actually, you know, like your painting or the drawing you've done is then the quote from what book it's next to.
The very
quote.
Right? And what's fun about that is I've had people say to me, they walk in and they like an artwork and they walk up from a distance and they like it. But when they see what I've written, they'll say to me, I didn't think that. But that doesn't matter. But if it changes their perspective, fun. But the point of it is they can like it for whatever reason they like it. But it's,
art is in the eye of the beholder.
As it should be. Mm. So at no point am I trying to dictate. But people have quite enjoyed that what they may have seen as a good life drawing. Then they'll see there was, you know, somebody from the back, and I'll have put a quote where somebody's being shamed, where they'll have just seen a nice back, and then they'll read it with the quote and realise that person has turned away from my perspective.
What's that from, that one where you only see the back?
That was one of the Somerset Maugham ones. Oh, quick, which one? She says, very quick.
It doesn't matter. What other writers?
Okay, we've got, let me have a look, there's Marcel Proust, and that's one, it's me having a bit of fun. It's actually two drawings of the same person, a male ballet dancer in what's called attitude. Do you know the position attitude in ballet? I'm doing it in front of you. No one can see it. I'm actually doing attitude, okay? And it's a mirrored version of it, or back to back, but then I'd actually read what Proust had written about attitude. So it's me having a bit of fun, really, because...
What did he say about attitude?
That it can be... I haven't got the quote in front of me. But basically, your perception is not always what it is. Mm. And that's why I thought, if somebody's giving you attitude, it's, you know, my attitude to you is how it's perceived. So that's why I thought it was quite fun to do a ballet dancer. It's a play on words because, I mean, the male ballet dancer is so strong and making a statement with every body movement. Mm. I should have brought all my quotes in.
Now, you talked about Frank Lloyd Wright and looking towards the future. As an artist, is that something you sort of can do when you're working so much in the moment? Is it something that works its way into your work?
Not into my work, but my head's constantly saying, will I live long enough to keep doing it? Because there's so much that you... Right. My head keeps going round about the night before I drove to Bendigo, I grabbed a bit of lino and started wanting to do something else. And I'm thinking now... And that sent my mind off thinking on a whole new series. When am I going to be able to do that? Focus, Pamela. Tomorrow you're in Bendigo. it's more that. But when you're in the moment, you don't have time. I don't have time. I don't want to get distracted because then I just, you know, that's when I start detail, and detail's the worst thing for me. Other people like detail and portraiture, but that's not what I like to do. I like to capture essence.
Sorry, Pamela, can I ask you a question?
Yes, you certainly can.
You were saying earlier, and going back to detail, you mentioned that you have a tendency to go into detail. Mm. Did that happen with this particular piece of art? Because you're looking at pictures of characters, and so, you know, with your interest in photography, did you find you were spending more time in trying to get the detail, or once you got the essence of it, was that where you stopped?
If I start getting the detail, that work will never be exhibited.
Okay.
And I think it comes from years and years of having to work with detail. So that's why I'm not interested in detail. Everything I did in my working life, it was always contracted, it was detailed. So it's actually easy for me to detail, and that annoys me. You know, I could sit here and do a drawing of you and it would be so like you and so close, it would bore me. But if I could capture your lovely body language now in 2 minutes, yeah. then I'd be happy.
Yeah, that's what I wanted to know. Yeah. You know, at what point do you stop?
And that well, and that's the hardest
well,
part.
Well, that's what she said, yeah. she can't.
Yeah, it's so...
She just keeps on drawing.
It's no, and that is, I mean, ask any artist, knowing when to stop. And that wonderful, yeah. what I learnt last year when I was in Tuscany, is we'd be out of nowhere and Eve would come rushing across the field to me saying, stop, stop now, Pamela, before you ruin it. And it literally, or he'd, there was this one day he dragged me from the field, put everything away, come back to the house. Now, throw everything away, now paint what you were looking at 10 minutes ago. So, and that's,
yep.
yeah,
yep.
that's so much fun.
So, Pamela, what's it called, the exhibition?
Pen to Paper.
And where is it?
It's in the Foyer Gallery at the Capitol Theatre in Bendigo.
And when's it running to?
Well, it's running for a whole month, which right. is nice. So
excellent.
There are many, many reasons to go to Bendigo, right. mostly to that wonderful gallery right. next door. So anyone's day tripping up there.
Yep. And you know, well, just go out for the day to see your work. Of course people do that. Now, also, Pamela, we've got to thank you so much at Sunday Arts Magazine and Joy 94.9 because you're one of the artists that's now part of Joy's very first art auction, which us guys are orchestrating for Joy as a big fundraiser. And you've donated one of your paintings for the auction, the art auction, which is on the 10th of August at Cohen Cellars in East Melbourne. Mm-hmm. And you can find all that information on Joy's website. We really would love you. And you know, like you buy a ticket, you get a glass of wine and you go in for a door prize, which is a piece of art as well as being there to buy about 20 pieces we've got that we're auctioning on the night, and some of the very well-known artists around town who have donated all their work. So please, if you want to support Joy and you want to support some great artists who have, as I said, donated all their work, including Pamela Reed, come along on that night, and all the details are on the website. Now, you have a website, a Facebook page? And
I have a website, pamelareed.biz, yep.
yep.
And the Ochres, which is the artwork I've given to your auction, it's a life drawing, a male life drawing.
Yep, brilliant.
So I hope everybody likes it.
Okay, and thank you again for donating on
my
on
pleasure.
That night.
That's it for the show.
That's it for the show.
And what a way to wrap
show's
up.
Over.
Show's over for another week. But join us again on Sunday Arts Magazine next week at 3 on Sunday. That's it from us.
See ya.
Bye, everyone.